Welcome to Managing Uncertainty, a podcast series from the experts at BrightPath discussing global risk, business continuity, and crisis management. Will you be ready to lead your organization through its critical moment?
Hello and welcome to the Managing Uncertainty podcast, Brightcast edition for the week of September 16th, 2019. This is Brian Strauser, Principal and CEO here at BrightPath.
This is Bray Wheeler, Consultant at BrightPath.
So we've had a couple weeks without a Brightcast episode just due to some business travel and vacation and other events that went on, but we're back.
We're back.
And we're back just in time for one of the more interesting dynamic events that has happened over the course of the year. Just about 36 hours ago, there was an attack on Saudi Arabia's oil production and refining facilities inside Saudi Arabia. And boy, are there rumors flying about this particular situation.
Oh, yeah.
It appears that the story, at least from Saudi Arabia and the United States, is that this was an attack executed by Iran on Saudi's oil production and refinery capabilities. It was initially reported as drone strikes. And then there was new reporting last night, Sunday evening, that indicated that this was a combination of drone strikes and cruise missiles fired from Iran. The Saudi has come out today, Monday the 16th, saying that they were these attacks were not originated inside of Yemen. So I think all signs indicate that these came across the Gulf from Iran. Is that what your understanding is?
Yeah, that's my understanding as well, based on the news reports and then looking at the map. It's well within, you know, these facilities that were attacked and infrastructure that was attacked is well within kind of the zone for Iran to be able to launch these, you know, launch a cruise missile, certainly.
And as we're recording this episode here on Monday morning, the 16th, you're going to hear it on Tuesday, the 17th. The United States, just in the last few minutes, has released satellite imagery showing what they're claiming is evidence backing the allegation that Iran was behind the attacks on major oil production facilities in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, that's been they kind of hinted at that yesterday, hoping to be able to release it, get it declassified enough that they could release it. So I'm not surprised that they've been able to push that through here this morning.
So there's some impact here, obviously, that's going to happen, some of which has happened, I think we should point out. The first is just the oil market. Let's talk a little bit about that. The oil price this morning has seen the biggest one-day rise since the 1991 invasion of Kuwait. Oil prices rose 20% this morning in early market trading, and they have since fallen back. The international benchmark used in oil trading is the Brent crude price, which went up to $71.95 a barrel earlier today before dropping back. It was at about $50 a barrel before the attacks, before the markets opened today, the first day of trading since the attacks have occurred. Prices eased primarily. Traders are saying that the prices eased primarily because President Trump has authorized the release of oil from the United States Strategic Oil Reserve in order to balance out the impact of the attack on the market.
Yeah, what's happening really is kind of based on the infrastructure that if whatever was attacked, whoever attacked the infrastructure in Saudi Arabia that produces this stuff, they weren't taking out kind of just pieces here or there that's kind of easily repairable, you know, replace a pipe, divert, you know, to a different facility. They hit kind of a jugular, was described by kind of the senior fellow for energy at the Council on Foreign Relations, Amy Myers Jaffe. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. She had posted on Twitter yesterday, kind of a long explanation of kind of what all this means, and essentially the strike that was made was the type of strike that you would make in the, like, at the outset of a conflict.
Right.
Hit a jugular, facility, which was their gas oil separation plant. There's not a whole lot of those in Saudi Arabia. And so taking that out has a very big impact on Saudi Arabia's ability to be able to send through crude oil, send through natural gas, send through gas, because really that facility is responsible for taking all of the crude oil that Saudi Arabia is posting with all of its kind of imperfections and impurities and different things that are mixed in with it, and being able to separate all those things out into the distinct kind of consumables that they'd be able to send out. So by hitting that and some of the other infrastructure, they really significantly damaged Saudi Arabia's ability. It wasn't just a kind of a tit for tat attack. This was a direct strike, whomever it was, on a pretty key piece of infrastructure within kind of Saudi Arabia's oil infrastructure.
The BBC reports this as the largest oil processing plant in the world. It is run by Saudi State Oil Company, which the Saudis announced this morning that they may delay the IPO of their state-owned oil company, which I'm sure was going to be a boon for them in terms of capital investment in the country and thus to the royal family. But this is the, you know, to your point about this being the jugular, so to speak, as Amy was describing it from the Council on Foreign Relations, this is the largest oil processing plant in the world.
Yep.
And it has been, you know, if you look at the satellite imagery the United States released this morning, I mean, the attack, pretty significant damage that occurred. And this stuff's not that stable either in terms of, it's not overly resistant to attacks and fire and bombing and that kind of thing.
Just not naturally. I mean, you could have the best setup, probably system in the world, and it's still going to be kind of susceptible to that kind of stuff. It's just, I mean, you're dealing with highly flammable
material. You
know, yeah. Material.
So the core of this conflict is a regional power competition between Saudi Arabia and Iran. They've been bitter rivals going back for decades. It's exasperated by significant differences in interpretations of religion between the two. We often talk, at least in the counterterrorism discussions, about the influence of more radical elements of Islam. But this is literally one sect of Islam against another sect of Islam, who both of whom happen to be the two regional dominant powers, for the most part. Militarily and economically in the Middle East between the two.
And responsible for a lot of the smaller proxy factions, you know, that operate, you know, around the globe.
Right.
That they really kind of fund and or administer some of those.
The Iran is largely a Shia Muslim country. Saudi is primarily a Sunni Muslim country, and thus the core of the conflict, which of course goes back to the founding of Islam and original differences of opinions that led to the two principal sects of the religion. And to your point, the two countries they've been engaged in a variety of proxy conflicts for decades throughout the region. You saw some of that play out in the United States' time in Iraq. There was very much elements of an Iranian proxy war going on that led to the rise of ISIS as elements of that.
Well, and kind of funny enough, some of that was embraced by the U.S., some of the Iran interference, because they were taking on ISIS.
Correct.
They were combating some of the more extreme elements of the kind of the Sunni side of that religion, those extremes. But then also the U.S. and Saudi Arabia have been very close regional allies for quite some time too, even
many decades,
countering force to Iran.
Well, and the whole conflict in Yemen that's going on between the two sides is, again, this is a proxy war between Saudi and Iran. The reason Saudi entered the conflict was to counter Iranian influence in Yemen that had been going on for some time.
Well, that's originally they thought this attack was kind of originated from Yemen as part of the Iranian-backed rebels, so it wasn't.
Now they're saying it's
kind of an overt attack from Iran, that it was through the rebels, and now they're saying that's not the case, that they have evidence to suggest that it was directly from Iran.
So the danger here for businesses is, as we kind of explained what's going on, you know, Saudi is a place that lots of U.S. businesses do business, have facilities, particularly in oil and gas, defense and aerospace, intelligence and other sectors of the United States economy. And there's lots of other businesses from other countries that operate there, too. So the challenge here is now we have military conflicts done on a, you know, smaller scale between two regional powers. So the disruption we've talked about previously in the Middle East, this just exasperates that situation. And apparently we have cruise missiles flying over the Gulf from one country to the other.
Yeah. And I mean, as I mentioned before, taking this step, I mean, this attack is the type of attack you conduct during a direct military engagement. On the onset of a war, this is a first strike target within Saudi Arabia. That would be what opposing forces target. And so to have that escalation, to have that direct hit, now probably not super populated, you know, so there's not a tremendous loss of life, but the economic impact is globally pretty substantial, at least for the time being. And I think this, just the region, and you alluded to a lot of the U.S. business going on in Saudi Arabia, there's a lot of, you know, even regional business that's going on. And this is now a regional, full-out regional concern. You know, you're talking UAE, you're talking Israel, you're talking Jordan, Lebanon, Turkey. Well,
the United States has been dragged into this. I mean, right? I mean, we're not in direct competition here in this particular conflict, right?
Right.
But we've taken some sides on this before. We've long been opposed to the Iranian influence in the Middle East, and we've sided with the Saudis, and we've been allies of the Saudis for 50 years.
Yep.
I mean, we have a massive defense installation and capability in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
I mean, it couldn't be clearer. And then the president this morning, of course, made a comment about being locked and loaded, which has now been walked back by the White House staff, that he wasn't speaking militarily, but he was speaking militarily.
Right. You know, locked and loaded isn't quite a term you mince words with. It's not a, no. You know, hey, we're going out to the garden party
right.
type of term.
Exactly.
It's a pretty aggressive rhetoric. I think regionally there is substantial concern for the U.S. There's concern. I mean, it's, politically or not, you know, it's forced us to access our strategic oil reserve, you know, which is put us there. So that degree of kind of uncertainty or nervousness has at least caused us to engage kind of that option for us. So, yeah, this will be interesting to watch throughout the week and into next week. So hopefully we have kind of a better update for it next week, but.
So businesses need to continue to monitor the situation and take appropriate preparation steps if you operate in Saudi or nearby countries and just continue to monitor the situation. What's our other topic for today's episode?
Yeah, so this one probably won't take too much time because fortunately Hurricane Humberto has kind of redirected itself out towards the Atlantic, but really just want to give a quick touch base on the Atlantic kind of tropical weather outlook. It's been a fairly quiet start to the season, but however, in the last, you know, couple of months here, it's been pretty active in terms of the storms. We've all seen kind of the devastation that the Bahamas has had with Hurricane Dorian and some of the impact that the U.S. has experienced because of that. Really kind of what we want to make sure that companies are staying connected to is, yeah, we're coming up on kind of the end of hurricane season in November. But right now it's very active. There's a number of storms both in the Pacific and the Atlantic. But in the Atlantic in particular, there's a couple out there. So in the 5-day forecast, kind of in the short term, it's looking okay. Kind of South Texas, that Gulf of Texas, will probably see a little bit more of an increase in kind of just tropical weather. But there is a storm that's brewing out there that has a greater than 60% chance of developing into a hurricane. Still kind of mid-Atlantic off the kind of midway between the Atlantic coast and kind of the Bahamas area. But then Humberto is also turning out, but there's also some other weather systems that are kind of just sitting out there. So key thing for businesses is just because Humberto has kind of turned the corner and it may be pretty quiet, keep an eye on that radar here for the next few months, especially, and just stay posted, because not only have we seen the kind of the devastation some of these hurricanes have wrought so far, now to just compound that with kind of hurricanes over the top, or, you know, a direct landfall, you know, it's certainly in the possibility. And especially as we're entering kind of third quarter, you know, and a lot of different, you know, supply chains are kind of in heavy hit mode. Just want to make sure that you're monitoring those and staying ahead of what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, it's not over the hurricane season. I mean, I think we think when we get to November 1st that like it's going to stop. But, I mean, we've had major Cat 3, Cat 4, Cat 5 hurricanes after November 1st many times in the last 10 to 15 years. So it's certainly something to continue to monitor. And you're right, both the Atlantic and Pacific are very active right now.
Yep.
And hurricanes are getting strong. We're seeing more major hurricanes than before, whether that's due to climate change or it's just a random, you know, issue statistically. But it's not over, and I think companies need to continue to monitor what's going on and be prepared for that.
Yeah, it's, I mean, both the Atlantic Basin kind of in that kind of Gulf area is just, it's super unstable right now, and it's just kind of a breeding ground for storms right now. So
that's it for this edition of the Managing Uncertainty Podcast, Brightcast edition. We'll be back later this week with new episodes. Hope to hear from you then.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Managing Uncertainty, produced by the experts at BrightPath. To receive notifications of new episodes, join our newsletter at brightpath.com or subscribe to your favorite podcast player, such as iTunes or Google Play. Learn more about the services and trusted advice from BrightPath by visiting brightpath.com. That's BrightPath.com.